Good stuff. For those of you that are just watching online, boy, you miss out so much on the in-person worship. You guys sound amazing. It's so fun to just sing and worship together, and at times I stop and I just listen to you guys, and wow, it just brings joy to my heart. So thank you for being here. I hope you understand how much you mean to me and to this ministry and this worship and all that. It's so much better together. So much better together. I've got really bad news, which maybe will be good news for some of you as you have a chance to step up. I got news this morning that my amen dude in the back, Don, is sick today. And so that means, yeah, we don't know. I think he'll be okay. But what that means is this is a setup to step up for some of you all. So he says amen quite often because he agrees with what I say, because what I'm saying comes from God's word. So what you need to do this morning is say amen. A lot. There you go. All right. Yeah, you're getting warmed up. Thank you, front row. We got some front row folks right here that are into it. So yeah, set up to step up for some of you. Get your amens fired up and ready to go. All right, and pray for Don. Hopefully he gets better very quickly. I don't know what's wrong exactly, but I don't think it's anything super serious. But anyway, yeah, pray for him and respond with lots and lots of amens. All right, got to go on a canoe trip. No sermon would be complete without some sort of canoe talking, right? So I got to go on a canoe trip several weeks ago. Four guys, I mean, manly men, testosterone-filled canoe trip. It was supposed to be a fishing trip, but we did lots and lots of travel, lots of portaging, lots of paddling. So we didn't get to fish as much as we wanted. But on this trip, the idea was we were going to base camp a little bit and take some day trips. Well, portage packs, like what Condos makes, you know, packs to carry all your stuff in, to go from the canoe down the portage and back in the canoe, whatever, those aren't good enough for a day trip. For a day trip, you need something small and simple to go. So we get to our first campsite, the base camp on a secret lake that I cannot tell you because it's chock full of walleye. Just know that it's in northern Minnesota somewhere. But anyway, we get to our base camp, and one of the manly men, strong dudes on the trip, Paul, sitting right over here, he whips out this frilly, cute little day pack. I mean, he's got like the Duluth pack, you know, the classic, like as rugged and cool looking as you can get, whatever, and he whips out this, like, I don't think there are flowers on it, but it was pretty. It was very, very cute, and we're like, what did you bring on this guy's trip? And he's holding up very proud. He's like, yeah, I got Janet this. She needed a day pack, and so I got it for Janet. She hasn't used it yet, but I'm going to use it on this fishing trip. And well, does Janet know that you took her pack? And he's, I don't know, I think so, but I'm going to use it on this trip. Well, as you can imagine, in a canoe and going across portages and fish and dirt, whatever, the cute, pretty, I think it was pink, I don't know what color it was, but it was very bright and pretty. It's getting dirtier and dirtier, and so we had a lot of fun with that one. Like Paul, this manly man, you know, retired police, and he's got this cute pack, and we're like, how's Janet liking her pack so far? And he says, well, I think she likes it just fine. She needs a table saw for our upcoming anniversary. So some years ago, I needed a new bird dog. I needed another bird dog, another Brittany. And so my parents wouldn't let me, I was living at home, my parents wouldn't let me get another dog. They didn't want me to have one dog, let alone two. And so I had this brilliant idea. I was dating Teresa at the time. And so I discovered, I thought maybe she needed a bird dog, a Brittany. And so I gave her a Brittany. Well, we went to pick out the puppy, and there were only two left, and one just laid down and slept and super calm and what barely would move, and the other one was just hyper and full bore and just exactly what I needed, and she wanted the one that slept all the time. And I wanted the high energy, get out there and find a bunch of birds. Well, guess which one I gave her? The high energy one. And man, he was phenomenal dog. And you know what? In theory, it was her dog, but he was 100% mine. I mean, I think she petted him, probably fed him a little bit, but he was my dog. I trained him, and he hunted for me, and we loved each other, and sadly, he got hit by a car the day we returned from our honeymoon. yeah, great dog. So if you want to get her a puppy, no, we're done with, we have one dog. But anyway, some gifts that we give to others actually benefit us as much or maybe even more than the person that we gave them to. Some are very much like, it's like your wife getting you a smoker. That's just benefiting her. You're doing the cooking outside. She can just watch you and root you on and then enjoy the spoils. Yeah, my amens are coming from the sound booth back there. But there's a saying, it's better to give than to receive. And honestly, as a kid, that is the dumbest saying I've ever heard. Like, who would ever say it's better to give than to receive? No way. It's way better to receive. Like on Christmas, I don't want to be just simply giving out all the gifts. I want to receive, hopefully, more than everybody else. I didn't understand as a kid, but you know what? I've got a few more gray hairs now. Kids do that to you, and some of you do that to me as well. I've got more gray hair. That was just a joke. I got gray hairs, and with a little bit of gray hair, a little bit of wisdom, I understand the theory behind that. I understand it is better to give than to receive. In fact, for Christmas, I mean, I guess you want to get something, but it's so much more fun to watch the kids open up their gifts, especially if you've thought through and you give someone something. It's just great. So I understand this idea. It is better to give than to receive. So hold on to that thought. For those of you that might be visiting with us or guests or haven't made the last week or two or whatever, welcome to Ledge Rock Community Church. We're glad that you're here. I've been engaged in a series called Key Club, and we went through a time where we looked at what it means to be a believer, a follower of Jesus, a Christian, and the keys that it takes to unlock Christianity. Well, those that possess the keys of saved by grace through faith and not by works, so that none of us can brag about it, we make up the church, the body of Christ here in Ely and all across the world. And so we make up a key club, a club of those that possess the keys to Christianity. Well, we've taken some time, we've looked at what is the church, what is the purpose of the church, who are we, the body, the bride within the church, and what's our role, and what's our purpose. So that's where we've been at and where we continue today. And in the coming weeks, we're going to dissect and break down what that exactly means here at Ledge Rock. Like, how do we then at Ledge Rock achieve what we have discovered biblically is the role and purpose of the church and us within the church? So last week, my message was about the body of Christ made up of many parts, one body made up of many different parts. And today, we're going to actually go back in Scripture a few verses, and we're going to look at spiritual gifts and gifts within the body that make up the parts that then make up the body. So God gives us gifts for Himself. The whole idea of better to give than to receive, for God, that's true, because what He gives you and I, members of the body, are to serve Him ultimately. And what you and I do with the gifts God's given brings Him glory. So for God, it is better to give than to receive. So, because He receives as He gives. My family and I have found a show called, what's the space show where it's the remake of the... No, I don't know what that one is. Lost in Space. Thank you very much. Lost in Space. I didn't write it down in my notes. I just have what I'm going to say next. Anyway, we've discovered Lost in Space. Now, I didn't watch it like growing up or whatever. I think I just missed it. I think it was before my time. I'm not sure. But anyway, and we didn't have cable, so I didn't watch it growing up. But we've watched the remake of Lost in Space on Netflix. And the kids like it. It's a family show and whatever. So we've watched it. And if you are familiar at all with it, there's a robot in there. And the young boy, Will, discovers the robot. And so the robot goes around protecting Will. And one of the lines that the robot says whenever danger appears is, "Danger, Will Robinson." That's the boy's name, Will Robinson. "Danger, Will Robinson." Whenever anything comes up that might be threatening, whatever, "Danger, Will Robinson. And so today, this message, this passage of Scripture, if the robot were here and I was the little boy that had found, he would be saying, danger, Pastor Kurt. Danger, danger, Pastor Kurt. Be careful. Lots and lots of caution with the passage of Scripture that we are going to be in today. There are two or three, there's varying camps on where people stand with the whole gifts idea. Several different camps and some brilliant, brilliant people disagree on gifts and how they're viewed and used today within the church. Brilliant people. So for weeks now, I have been praying through this. I've been agonizing over the Scripture. I have been studying and praying and seeking God's guidance and direction for today's message. And so don't jump to any conclusions as I go through it. Hopefully you can stay open-minded and hear me out through the entirety of the message, because I will do my best to explain, at least in the short time we have today, a little bit about each of the camps and my struggles with one or both of the different camps. And I will explain to some degree where I'm at with this whole concept. But know going in that this is a dangerous topic. This is a difficult subject that I do not want to simply gloss over. I don't want to look at us as the body and not talk about what makes up each of us as parts within the body. So today we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, but now today we're going to be in verses 4 through 11. Last week we were 12 through, I think it was 20. So we're backing up just a few verses, which then sets the stage for what we learned about last week as we make up parts of the body. Real quickly, Corinth was a messed up church. It was not the picture of a healthy church. The city of Corinth was a very metropolitan area, very, very populated, very busy, a very pagan city in Greece, not too far from Athens. And so you can imagine every false god, every idol was represented there in Corinth. The Apostle Paul went, stayed for a year and a half, preached the message, people were saved. They began a church there in Corinth, and within the church, after Paul left, they began to drift away from the gospel. And so Paul wrote this letter, this first letter to the church in Corinth, to correct them, to show them where they had veered away with multiple different areas of secularism and paganism creeping within the church. So that kind of just sets the stage a little bit for this letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth, but also very much to us today. We can always gain wisdom and glean from God's word. So join me as I read 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 4, and I believe we've got it up on the screen here behind me. The scripture says, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. Pray with me. Oh, Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, I especially just come seeking you and your presence here with us today. Lord, I thank you for your word and the clarity within it and how you have laid this message out before me. And, oh, Lord, I pray that you will take your word and your truth and you will accurately present who you are and what you've done and how you've gifted us and what you've called us to do through me this morning. Father, I ask that you open up our hearts and our minds, that each of us will hear you and sense your truth and your reality, and that each of us will know more clearly how you've gifted us and how we can use them for your glory. Lord, I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. So the kind of the main point to today's message is that every believer, all of us, need to know how God has gifted us that we can then serve the body and bring Him glory. That's what this is all about, how we can discover and discern how God has gifted every believer to serve the body and bring Him glory. So I say it all the time, and it is so important. Always, always, always read Scripture in its context. Cults are started when you take a verse somewhere within Scripture and read it and then suddenly just apply that, whatever. We have to know who was the author and who was the audience, and then what was going on at that point in history, what was going on at the church in Corinth that Paul would need to write those things, and how culture has changed in America is very different than the life in Corinth at the time. So know that we always read Scripture within its context. There's history, there's prophecy, there's poetry. Don't get theology from poetry. It's meant to be beautiful and praiseworthy and things. So yeah, hopefully you understand the importance of always reading Scripture in its context. And I think that this is a classic example of understanding who the church was, what was going on at the time, and then how now today we have to be cautious. Cautious. Danger, danger, child of God, as we read God's word. So again, in Corinth, Corinth was an example of a messed up church. I mean, that's just as point blank as I can say it. Paul had left and things started to go downhill. False teachers, false prophets come in. They start adding things to the gospel. They start incorporating the law upon grace, by faith in Jesus. Yeah, but you also have to. The people started living again like their secular neighbors, their non-saved neighbors, and so it was a mess. Well, if you back up in chapter 11, you'll see an example of the Lord's Supper being observed. And in the church there in Corinth, it was a disaster. What was meant to help all believers remember Jesus and His sacrifice, His body and blood that He gave for the forgiveness of our sins, was actually causing division within the church. Poor people didn't have anything to eat, and rich people were rolling out the great big picnic basket, and they were enjoying a huge feast. And instead of bringing unity and clarity and togetherness, it was causing division. And so Paul chastised them and reminded the church what was going on there and how they were missing the mark. And so then immediately following that, he gets into the gifts that God has given to the church, and then how it impacts each one of us as our role within the body. So if you back up a couple verses, if you have your copy of your Bible, look at verses 1 through 3. If not, just listen as I read, as Paul finishes chastising and explaining the Lord's Supper very clearly. He then immediately gets into now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters. I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says that Jesus is cursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He's clarifying with them that the Spirit brings knowledge and wisdom and who understanding of who Jesus is, and the ability to say that Jesus is Lord. It comes from the work of the Holy Spirit within people's lives. And that if you're not recognizing Jesus as Lord, that's not a godly characteristic, that the Spirit does not speak that way. Everything that the Lord does, everything that God does, everything that He does is to bring unity within the body, clarity within the body, understanding of who He is and what He wants, edification, which is a church word for building up. It's building up the body. Everything that God does is for the building up of His body, and ultimately, everything that God does is for His glory. Everything that He does. God is not a God of confusion. God is not a God of chaos, but He is a God of clarity. Very much so. And let me tell you, brilliant minds, very godly men and women, believe both sides of the spectrum here. godly men and women that I know and treasure and trust and study from are on both sides of the spectrum. Lots and lots of books have been written. And so if there was a clear, defined answer to this, there wouldn't be such division among evangelicals today all across the spectrum. However, I do believe we can gain some understanding of looking at both spectrums. All right, let's get into the meat of the message today. One body, one spirit made up of many different parts. Verse 4. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. So first, you got to remember what the Holy Spirit does within believers. We are so blessed and so fortunate. The moment we confess Jesus as Lord, turn from our sins, and by faith trust in Jesus alone for our salvation, the Bible teaches that every one of us becomes a believer, a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and we are fully indwelt by the presence of God from that moment on forever. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells and works inside every believer without exception, without excuse, has been since Pentecost and will be until the final glorification of all things that are yet to come. The Holy Spirit lives inside every believer, and the Holy Spirit does awesome things, amazing things. When you are doing something wrong, committing sin, and you feel conviction of that sin, that's the Spirit speaking into you that what you're doing is wrong. The Spirit leads us to wisdom and understanding of Scripture. The Spirit speaks through us to lead other people to come to faith in Jesus. The Spirit cleans up our life. It's like a broom and a dustpan inside our heart, cleaning up all the old sinful desires, and over time, the sanctification process by the Spirit makes us more and more like Jesus. Now, we can fight that. We can wrestle with God, and we can try to deny it and wrestle, and it's ugly, and it's difficult, and if you're a true believer, there's this war going on between your flesh and the Spirit, but the Spirit is still there, and God is waiting patiently to work mightily in your life. The Spirit indwells us and works in us, and clearly the Holy Spirit gifts true believers to serve each other and ultimately glorify Him. The Spirit gifts us, one body made up of many parts. He gifts us to work together as a team. Ely is having football this year. Minnesota. Yeah, now I get an amen from you. Yeah, by the way, Bears are 2-0. How are the Vikings doing? 0-2. Anyway, it's about to change, I'm sure. But anyway, go Bears. Ely is going to have a football program. Minnesota is having a football program. In Ely, we have a 9-man team. Where I came from, we had 11, but here it's 9. And so 9 positions that need to be filled. 9 different positions. Imagine if we had 9 quarterbacks out there on the field. What a mess that would be. Some people would argue that the quarterback is the most important position on the field. Well, what if we had 9 good, solid quarterbacks out there? There'd be no one to snap the ball to that quarterback. No one for the quarterback to throw the ball to or hand the ball off to. No one to block the defense. No one would do all those other things. The deal is the positions are important. Every position is valuable and necessary. One body made up of different parts, gifted by God through the Holy Spirit to work and serve together as a team to bring God glory. Look at verse 7. The next one, verse 7 says, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. The gifts are given for God's glory. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. That has not changed. That is as true today as it was back then. God has given a manifestation of Himself inside each believer for the greater good of the body, ultimately resulting in His glorification. That is huge. That is huge. If you leave here understanding nothing else, grasp that one. The Spirit has given Himself to everyone for the greater good, to help the body. Now, sadly, We live in a day where we have all seen the abuse of gifts or supposed gifts. We live in a day when we have seen people greatly abuse and misuse and mistreat and misunderstand the gifting of the Holy Spirit for the benefit of the body and for God's glorification. Sadly, these gifts have been greatly abused, misused, and misunderstood. All of us have turned on the TV, TBN. Is TBN still going? Many years ago, we had, I don't know if it was cable or satellite, whatever, something, and TBN was on there, and the joke was among, like, conservative evangelicals, it stood for the Total Blasphemy Network. Not that there's not some godly teaching on, there is. David Jeremiah is on there, like, good stuff. There's also some amazingly heretical teachers on, like, they would allow anybody to get on there. And so, sadly, we have seen and witnessed and watched and heard a lot of false prophets, false teaching in very public arenas. We've seen the misuse and abuse of these sorts of things and the misinterpretation of Scripture, and it's been abused for publicity, for fame, and sadly for money. And let me tell you, the body of Christ has been greatly harmed because of that. All of us have heard lost friends and family blame these TV evangelists that say, if that's what the church is like, I don't want anything to do with it. They want you to send your money to the Lord, but they give you their address, to quote a Hank Williams Jr. song. No amens on that one. We've all seen the results of the misuse and abuse of what God intended for the glorification of His body and for His own glorification. It's been misinterpreted and misunderstood. Verse 7, again, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. It's given for God's own glory. It's to better the body of Christ. That's so important. All right, the next, like, sub point, if you will, here is the problem that we see. And I'm going to get into the gifts, and I'm going to read through the gifts, but there is no exact number of spiritual gifts. There is no comprehensive, complete listing of the spiritual gifts. So what does that mean for you and I? Don't get caught up on the titles of certain gifts. Don't get caught up on gift number 3 or 8 or whatever, because there is no exact number of gifts. Throughout Scripture, no one can agree on the number of gifts. I think what that means for us is that God gifts in lots of ways. Lots of ways and varieties of ways. Why? To better benefit the body of Christ, to bring Him glory. Do not get caught up on the gifts. Look at verse 8. I'm going to read them. Verse 8 and following, to one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretations of tongues. The robot would be screaming, danger, danger, child of God, danger, Pastor Kurt, danger, caution, be careful as you address this. It is God's word, and all of God's word is useful for training and rebuking and correcting and raising up men and women of God to be used for Him. We need to always understand God's word, but remember, taking it in context. I have prayed so much through this, asking God for direction and clarity. I'm seeking caution. I'm praying through this. How do we address this? We want to do it with accuracy, with love to our brothers and sisters that agree in different ways about this passage and how to address it. I want to approach it with grace and with mercy, but most importantly, with accuracy to our God and who He is. Let me start by saying camps and labels for camps are dangerous. When you start to say, if you think this, then you have to fit this mold. And if you think this way, then this is your name and your title, and you have to think this way. I think those are detrimental to the body of Christ. I believe that sometimes and often there are middle grounds, there are combinations when one side is godly and loves Jesus and disagrees with another side that is godly and loves Jesus, then clearly there's division within the body, but it should be addressed with grace and love and mercy. All right, camps and labels are dangerous. All right, here's a description of two camps that you need to know. Some big words. Hopefully it makes sense. Continuationists, or continuationism, is a group of believers that believe that these gifts, as spelled out in 1 Corinthians and Romans, anywhere where Scripture addresses these gifts, that those gifts have continued today. That from the apostolic age, before Scripture was completed, till today and ongoing, that God gave these gifts to believers back then, and He also gives the same gifts to His people today for the betterment of the body and for the glorification of God. They would say that tongues and interpretation of tongues and healings and miracles and signs and wonders have not ceased, but continue today within the body. That's our very Pentecostal friends and brothers and sisters. That's the very charismatic folks. There's even some representatives within Ely here that would agree with that statement very much. And so their argument, if you cannot speak in tongues, or in fact some would go very far and say you have to speak in tongues to prove that you're saved, I could not disagree with that anymore scripturally. So if you have disagreed with that, I'd love to have coffee with you and tell you how you're wrong. But the folks that would think that way would argue that if you're not seeing more miracles and more healings and more prophetic prophecies being spoken, it's because you're too secular. Because you don't have enough faith. You're just simply not close enough to God. And that's why we don't see more of these gifts being demonstrated within the church today. Then there's another camp that are called cessationists, or the idea is cessationism. And that is a group of people, godly, Spirit-filled believers, that would say that these gifts stopped. There was an age when they were beneficial. It's called the apostolic age, before Scripture was completed, before the canon of Scripture came to a completion that we then now have the benefit of having today. The apostles had to defend their apostleship. Peter and Paul. Paul does it all the time. He writes continually, as he was haunted by Judaizers, that he proved that he was an apostle by performing miracles, by speaking prophecy. He was literally writing out some of the New Testament before their very eyes. God was speaking through him in a prophetic way that we now have recorded in the Bible, in God's Word. And so many signs and wonders and miracles were done through the apostles back then to prove and creditate their apostleship. And then at some point when Scripture was completed and the New Testament was completed, that those gifts then were removed, that they were done for the apostles to show that they were genuine Spirit-filled apostles. And now today, we don't need new prophecy because we have the completion of the canon of Scripture. Now faith comes by hearing the Word of God, not by healings and miracles and new prophecies. There's a quick synopsis of each of these two camps. It's been fascinating to study this. I have spent hours upon hours studying, listening to both sides, men that I love and respect on each side, and they're so careful and cautious as they address this. So I have a problem. I'll admit I have a problem with the continuationist camp. I have an issue with that. One is that God is not a God of chaos, and the continuation of gifts has led to a hyper charismatic movement that propagates and promotes chaos within worship. We don't see that in Scripture. In fact, this was written by the Apostle Paul to a church that was living in a little bit of chaos, and he was using it to correct them, saying there needs to be order within the church because you're freaking new believers out, new people, guests are coming, and it's organized chaos. It's just, this isn't the way we glorify and honor God, so we have to be careful the way we address these gifts. Now remember, this was during, they were living out the New Testament. Now today, the New Testament is closed. Scripture is closed. The canon is complete. And so I have a struggle with the continuation camp because it leads to charismatic chaos. And I have friends, dear friends, that believe if you don't speak in tongues, you are not saved. And I don't know if they're thinking I'm not saved because to my knowledge, I've never spoken in tongues. I've never spoken a different language yet. But I do know that I am saved. I have been born again, saved by the blood of Jesus. I have several different struggles with the continuous camp. A lack of true healing by people. Look at the book of Acts. Look at Paul's writings and how many dear friends of Paul were sick. Paul praised God for sparing Epaphroditus' life, that he was so sick. He nearly died, and Paul like rejoiced that God spared him. Paul didn't command Epaphroditus or the church to go to each other and simply grab one of the many folks within the body and heal him. He said, oh, praise God that he survived miraculously. Timothy was sick, and Paul prescribed wine to him. He didn't say, Timothy, just go grab one of the many brothers or sisters within your congregation and just simply have them heal you. He said, drink a little bit of wine. It'll help your stomach. I think that we saw an end to the rank and file everyday member of the church performing healings, or else why would so many people be sick and die within the church and people mourned over the dead? Look at Tabitha and just the whole community mourned her passing. Why wouldn't one of the members just simply have healed her and helped her carry on with her ministry? We see a decided lack of true healings. In fact, John Piper said, who leans toward the continuous camp, said he has never heard of a group of people, a church, or a group of believers anywhere throughout history that is consistently healing anyone, consistently healing the toughest cases instantaneously. Now, bear with me, let me continue, because do not assume where I'm going with this. Let me continue. I'll just keep moving. Tongues. We see the abuse, the rampant abuse of tongues. I believe that in the New Testament it was given to represent languages. Every tribe and tongue, every language will be saved, will have the opportunity to come to faith in Jesus. And so tongues have represented gibberish. It's represented, like I said, misuse and abuse, and no one there to translate it. No one there to interpret what was being said, just simply on demand. Now we're all going to speak in tongues or whatever. And so I think we've seen a misuse of that. Anyone in here? Well, maybe I shouldn't ask for hands to go up. I don't know anyone personally that has just busted out in an unknown language. I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone that has been able to translate that language to help others come to faith in Jesus for the glory of the body and ultimately the glorification of God. Now, again, bear with me. I will address that in a little bit. Some people have misused and abused all of these gifts to seek their own fame, their own fortune, jets, and lake shore property here and around Ely, Minnesota. Now, I don't think there's any here, but people have misused these for their own gain, their own benefit. We don't see prophecy being spoken anymore because God is not delivering new manifestations of who He is to individual people. That's how cults get started. That's where Joseph Smith got this distinct revelation from God that 1820 years people were wrong, and now he is the only one that knows the truth, and it's called the Mormon cult. It's a cult. That's what happens when one person has a revelation from God and bad things happen. Same thing with Jehovah's Witnesses. We're not seeing God revealing new truths through people today. Scripture is complete. The canon of Scripture is fulfilled. We don't see wisdom in that understanding of new revelation of God today. We don't see it. I have a struggle with the continuationism camp. Miracles by people ceased being done at the end of the book of Acts. Miracles by people ceased. They were done to prove and accredit the apostleship of the apostles then, so they had credibility among lost and unchurched people of the day. Now, again, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Not a word from God, but the word of God spoken and preached. If healing were still going on, why were so many sick? And they would argue, you just simply don't believe enough. They would argue that you are just too secular. I have had dear brothers and sisters that have had a spouse, a sibling, a loved one diagnosed with terminal cancer. And let me tell you, they believed that God could heal them. They have prayed and prayed for the life to be spared of this loved one. And I don't know anyone at that moment that had more faith that God could and would heal their loved one. And yet, the loved one passed away. I think that concept of we don't see more miraculous healings and miracles being done because we just don't believe in, I don't think that holds any water. I think it's a dangerous direction to go because it puts a lot of pressure on us. And if what we hope for doesn't come true, then we start to doubt our own faith and the existence of God. I think it's a recipe for disaster. So now, are prophecies going on today? Depends on what you define as prophecy. If by prophecy you think a new word from God is going on, no, I don't believe so. If speaking through the direction of the Spirit, like me right now before you, if preparing the message through the direction of the Spirit, if God speaking through people, if that's what you mean, absolutely. In fact, I'm wholly dependent upon the Spirit to do in me and through me everything that He does. What about healings and miracles today? Do I think that they happen? Absolutely. Do I think that we see miraculous, God-ordained, Spirit-led healings today? All the time. Always. Do I think that we see miracles going on today? Absolutely. All the time. Yes. Does prayer work? Absolutely. All the time. Is God still the great physician? Does He still bring healing? Absolutely. All the time. I've been a part of praying for it and seen God answer those prayers. Does God perform miracles and healings and signs and wonders today? Absolutely. Does God gift missionaries suddenly with the ability to speak the language of a people group that they just encountered? Absolutely. I've heard amazing stories of that happening. It happens. It happens all around us today. People there to understand the tongues, understand the languages. Does it happen? Absolutely. Does it happen regularly within the body of Christ today? Sadly, no. No, I don't think that it does. I don't think that on demand, you and I can just simply perform miracles and perform healings. I think that God does what He wants when it benefits the body and brings Him glory. And some things we do not understand here on this earth why they happen. We have to trust that God is God, and that we are not, and that He works all things together for the good of those that know and love and trust Him. God still speaks through people today. God brings healing today. God performs miracles today. God is God, and we are not, to His glory. To His glory, not our own. Not for wealth and fame and profit. Look at verse 11. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as He wills. So how does all this work? I don't know. I don't know how this all works. I have spent so much time praying and exercising discernment and caution and studying. I don't know, but where am I at? Well, I think I've kind of addressed that so far. Where am I at? Do I think that the gifts ceased? Not necessarily. I think prophecy is very dangerous. I think tongues are very dangerous. I think that commonplace, instant, on-demand healing has all but ceased. I think that on-demand, constant, regular miracles by you and I, the average church member, I think that has ceased. I think that was done during a specific time period to show the power of the gospel in his people, namely the apostles. And then we've seen an end to that. If you know someone that is absolutely spot on demand, good at healing, I would love to meet him because I could use a little healing. I would love a little bit of healing. So where am I at? I think that those gifts are to be exercised with great caution, with great discernment. I think that God can do anything he wants through any of his children at any time. I don't think we can simply wave a magic wand and do it today. I do believe that, let me just stop. I could go on and on. This is it's so fascinating to me. What do we learn from this? So how do we benefit from what we've heard today, what we've learned today? Number one, do not be paralyzed by the misunderstanding of what your gifting is. Do I think that God gifts each member of his body for the glorification of the body and ultimately for his glory? Absolutely. The Spirit indwells each of us and empowers us to be a part of the body, to fit together as one team made up of lots of different parts that work together with unity to bring others to come to faith in Jesus. Do not be paralyzed by the titles of some of these gifts. Don't be paralyzed by, well, I don't think that teaching Vacation Bible School is my spiritual gift, so I'm not going to do it. I think far more people have stepped away from serving the Lord because they've misunderstood and misused spiritual gifts way, way too much. Do not be paralyzed and not serve because you don't know what your gift is or you haven't seen it manifest. I think that's misunderstood. So what do we do? What do you and I do now today as the body here in Ely, looking out at the rest of the world? Well, everything we've learned in the last few weeks, it doesn't change. What do? We love God with all of our heart and soul and strength and mind. And what do? We love others. What do? We make disciples of all the nations. We love Jesus. What do? We follow Jesus. What do? We be Jesus everywhere we go. We serve the Lord in lots and lots of ways with joy in our hearts. We have a spirit. Paul says, pray without ceasing. I believe he means to have a spirit of awareness, attentiveness, and alertness to the direction of the Holy Spirit. What do? We serve with joy, constantly being aware of, okay, God, what do you want next from me? What do you want next? I know a dear brother that looks at the leadership of the Spirit so strongly that he literally thinks, okay, God, should I have mini wheats or Cheerios today for breakfast? God, should I have a half a bowl, 5/8 of a bowl today? Maybe 3/4 of a bowl? God, should I put milk on my Cheerios today? How much milk should I put on my... I don't think God cares. Although he would say mini wheats by far over Cheerios. And obviously with milk, lots of milk, the more milk, the better. The point is, I don't think God cares if you have Cheerios or mini wheats. I don't think God cares if you teach Vacation Bible School. In fact, I think God would say absolutely teach Vacation Bible School. Lead children to come to faith in Jesus. Serve the Lord with joy. Don't get caught up on titles and names and camps and groups. I think we do that and it paralyzes us and we stop serving. What do? We serve the Lord with joy, constantly listening for the next step. The next calling, the next gifting. Serve the Lord with joy. I mean, obviously, I shouldn't be leading worship. That's clear. Masks have been a blessing. I don't hurt your ears and stuff when I sing. I sing from the depth of my heart and praise the Lord. But I shouldn't be, some things are clear, but man, don't use it as an excuse. Don't get paralyzed because you think, well, I don't have the gift of preaching or teaching or prophecy or whatever. God can use you in amazing ways if you just surrender your heart and let Him. What do? We serve God with joy, and He is glorified in His body. We use our gifting and our calling. We grow in those gifts. We seek out gifts. We seek out the fullness of the Spirit within our lives, and we better the body as we do it. We serve each other with joy and gladness, and we bring Him much praise and much honor as we do. For God, it's better to give than to receive, because as God gives, He's the one that receives the glory, because He has uniquely created each one of us, child of God, brother and sister. He's uniquely called and crafted and gifted all of us to work together, to fit together with love and joy and unity, to be the body and to bring Him glory. For God, it is better to give than to receive, because He gets the glory when He does. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word, and wow, oh wow, what a topic, what a subject. Lord, I pray that I have not misspoken Your truth today. And if I have, Lord, lay on each of our hearts where I have been in error and where You are in this whole idea of how You've gifted us. So Father, I just place this at Your feet, and I pray that You would reveal where You're at in our lives, each one of us, day in and day out, because Lord, You are God and we are not. Forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for not seeking You more and serving You more and glorifying You more. And Lord, I just pray that as we move forward from this point, You would instill in each one of us a greater desire to know and love You and to serve others and to bring You glory in amazing ways, because You are worthy. Father, we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.